I'm about to share with you 13 commandments from God. These are from His heart to our heart. And if we habitually obey these commandments, I can guarantee you on the authority of God's word, they will transform your relationships. A stale marriage will come to life. A broken relationship with children can be healed. Office conflicts can be solved. Your friends, intimate relationships. For over 2,000 years, Christians have obeyed these 13 commandments, and it's transformed society. I got a report this week from Ethiopia of an unreached people group, 70,000 strong, where Christians had come in and the gospel is spreading like wildfire. And because the Christians are obeying as a way of life these 13 commandments, it's transforming the whole culture. Now, let me read these to you. They're printed for you there. Listen to them. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, I'm learning to be more transparent with you, and I'm going to tell you what's going on in my heart. Because there's an elephant in the room, folks. You know what the elephant is? What's going on inside of us. Now, I was sitting at my desk at home Tuesday night to prepare for this message. I looked at all 13 of those commandments, and here's what honestly I thought. These irritate me. They frustrate me. Lord, I can't even remember all 13 of these. And right now, I'm tired, and I don't even feel like doing any one of them. Now, that's where I honestly was. I got so mad, I went, Lord, I don't want to study this. Now, at that point, I had enough sense to know I had a problem. So I stopped, and I said, God, there's something wrong with me. Why would I look at your word and get mad? Hello, Steve. My word is a mirror. Take a look. I'm exposing something. Now, as I started talking to the Lord about this, He immediately brought some scriptures to my mind. Here's the first one, Hebrews 12:2. Oh, this refreshed me. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. And then it hit me. Do you know what your problem is, Steve King? When I gave you the 13 commandments, you acted like you were the author of your faith and you were the perfecter. You thought this was an invitation for you to put faith in Steve King, buck up, suck it up, go do the commandments. No wonder you're angry. You forgot. That's not what my commandments are about. These are invitations for you to put your faith in Christ and let Him live through you. God brought back to me Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Having begun by the Spirit, are you being perfected by the flesh? So the light came on. I thought, okay, Lord, I'm feeling better. These 13 commandments, which are irking me, because I'm seeing them as an invitation to trust Steve instead of an invitation to trust Jesus. So, Lord, I'm feeling better. But to be honest, I'm still a little bit irritated. There's something wrong here. And then I began to get a sheet of paper out and I said, Lord, tell me what's wrong. I know I've got a heart problem. Jeremiah 17:9. I'm just going to read this one to you. This one came to my mind too. The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I had a heart problem. And so I got a sheet of paper out and I said, Lord, tell me what's wrong with my heart, because I'm exposed to your commandments and they're irking me. Something's wrong with my heart. First thing that came to my mind. You remember the comment you heard today and you latched onto it and it hurt you and it lodged in your heart? You haven't given that, let that go, have you? No, Lord, I haven't. And then do you remember you were reading that book by a super pastor and it really encouraged you? And then you started comparing your gifts to his and you started feeling like a worm? Yeah, Lord, I know. That lodged in my heart too. And do you remember you've been worrying? You've got all these deadlines and you're starting to feel the pressure? Yeah, Lord, I got that in my heart too. So why don't you come clean? Lord, those are sins. That was sinful. I let go of those. Lord, cleanse my heart. You know what happened to me? It was thrilling. I went back through the same text and my heart leaped. Wow. What changed was two things. The commandments of God, I had a whole new perspective. Their invitations, put your faith in Christ. Let him live through you. He's the author of your faith, not you. You're not the perfecter, he is. And you need a heart change. The commandments of God exposed your heart. And the only one who can change your heart is Jesus Christ. So the commandments of God, instead of becoming intruders that irritate me, became wonderful friends. These are opportunities to experience God and have your heart changed. Now, I can't read your heart, but God can. But some of you walked into church today in the same position I was in. You're going to get a sermon on 13 commandments, and I might irritate the living daylights out of you. Why? Because you will take them as more things to do, and I don't want to do them. Wrong response. They're invitations to put your faith in Christ. And when you hear the commandments of God, they always expose your heart. And if you've got things lodged in your heart today, little hurts, worry, bitterness, lust, come and cleanse it through Christ. Then when you hear the commandments, it'll bring us life. So before we go any further, let's do some business with God. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, every single day, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Lord, my eyes get off of you so quickly. And I want to come back and fix my eyes on Christ when I look at these commandments. And Lord, my heart, it just goes in the wrong direction. Only you can change it. So Lord, would you cleanse our hearts today? Cleanse me. And as we go through these commandments, Lord, may they be welcome friends that are calling us to faith and a heart change. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to get revival here in a minute. Okay, if we just stopped right there, that would be revival. But let's go through the 13 commandments. First of all, here's what these 13 are all about. This is the umbrella. They're all about love. The very first one, it says, let agape, love, be without hypocrisy. Then you come down a little bit further. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. In the very next section, it says, love your enemies. So the overarching umbrella for these 13 commandments is love flowing through your heart. 1 Timothy 1:5 says this. This is so important. The goal, the target of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Every time I'm exposed to the Word of God, God says, I got one target, it's your heart. And I want to change it so that flowing out of your heart is a pure heart that's full of my love. These 13 commandments tell you how to get there. But there's some myths that we've bought into about how a heart changes. Give you an example of how the myth is just very subtle, and I bought into it. You have too. Let's talk to Brian. Brian has been having chest pains for weeks, acid reflux disease. When he walks up the steps, his breath is gone. His wife pushes him, he goes to the doctor. They run tons of tests, and the next week, he's sitting in the doctor's office, and the doctor walks in with his chart, looks at him, and says, on a scale of 10, 10 being horrible, you're a 7. Here's a list of exercises. If you do, listen to me, Brian, if you do not change your lifestyle, you'll die. You don't need surgery now. A radical change in lifestyle. Here are the exercises, 3 times a week. Do these. And then when you get in shape with those, I'll give you some more. Brian responds this way. You don't understand. You just said, I've got a heart problem. And I can't do those things until my heart gets better. Fix my heart and then I'll consider doing those things. I mean, I know what will happen if I do that exercise. I'll be out of breath. I can hardly walk up the steps and I'll sweat like a pig and I'll be sore. This is going to be awful. Now, give me something to fix my heart. Then I'll consider the exercises. The doctor says, he's thinking to himself, you're an idiot, but he doesn't say that. But he thinks it. And saying, Brian, listen to me. The only way to get your heart in shape is to get sore, to sweat like a pig, do the exercises. It exercises your heart, then it rests it, it builds the muscle. And Brian responds by saying, wait a minute, now, doctor, you're not hearing me. My wife's been pushing me to get on that treadmill in our house for a year, and I got on it last week, and I almost died. And besides, I look like an elephant in those little sweatpants. It's terrible. And just give me something to fix my heart, and then I'll consider it. And the doctor wants to say, you really are an idiot. Why? Because here's what Brian's not hearing. If your heart is bad, you have to change the habits to get it strong again. That is true spiritually. Many times we say, I've got a heart problem, Lord, a quick prayer, it's all over. No, no, no. You got a habit in your sinful heart. It needs to be replaced with new habits. And that's what the commandments of God are. They are taking us to the gym. But when we get into the gym, we have to say, invitation to faith in Christ, not me. And Lord, change my heart through the Holy Spirit. But these are habits. I have to put them into my lifestyle. Now, that's our frame of reference. Let's go through the commandments. There are 13, all under love, broken down into 4 characteristics that show up in our life, 4 habits, if we're living by faith. The first one is wonderful. Love is sincere and discerning. Look at what it says. Let love, and that's our word agape, Greek word unconditional, self-sacrificing, God's kind of love. Let that love be without hypocrisy. Now stop right there. I know what you're thinking, same thing I thought. This is why it irked me. Lord, I don't have that kind of love. Where am I going to get that? I'm glad you brought that up. Romans 5:5 is the answer. The love of God has been poured out within your heart through the Holy Spirit who's been given to you. When you lean on Steve King, you don't have it. When you lean on the Holy Spirit, it is there. This commandment is an invitation to faith in Christ, not faith in ourselves. And He changes our heart. This love is to be without hypocrisy. You know what that word means? It comes from the Greek plays. And they didn't have backgrounds like we do in our plays. They just had a blank stage. But the actors had masks. And they would put the mask up and play different parts. Here's what it means to love with hypocrisy. My mask says, good to see you. God bless you. On the inside, I'm thinking, you're a jerk. And when I leave here, I'm going to talk about you. That is loving like a hypocrite. Have you ever done that? We all have. What would drive that out of my heart? The love of God filling my heart. That's what he's saying. Invitation to faith in Christ changed my heart. Now, that love is discerning. Isn't it interesting? Right after he commands us to love, he tells us to hate. Abhor, hate, despise what is evil, cling to what is good. It's discerning. Now, in your marriage, maybe you're the kind of person that easily abhors what is evil, justice, standing for what's right. And maybe your mate is clinging to what's good, and they're a nurturer, and they're very positive. And you clash a lot. Can you relate to this? Some people are really big on the hard side of love. Some are really big on the soft side of love. Love is like a river, and it has banks. It's the banks of truth. If those banks are too low, it becomes a swamp. If the banks are too high, it's like the Grand Canyon. I can never get to it. What this is saying is love controlled by the Holy Spirit and grown up habit of the heart abhors what is evil, clings to what is good. It is a discerning love. It is soft and it is hard. Now, how do I get discernment? Hebrews 5:14 says, mature because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. When I'm walking by faith, the Holy Spirit controls me. I keep learning the Word of God. Then the love of God within me becomes a discerning love. Hard and soft balance each other. You know what I find so refreshing? Jesus. It's the perfect model of this. Jesus could take a little child, put him in his lap, turn around and take a whip in his hand and cleanse the temple. Jesus could say to Peter, you're the rock. Turn right around and say, get behind me, Satan. Jesus could say, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden. Turn right around to the Pharisees and say, you whitewashed tombs, you hypocrites. He was a master of hard and soft love. So how do I get this? Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. Look at the second characteristic. It welcomes and honors people. If the love of God is flowing through me by faith, here's what it looks like. It welcomes and honors people. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. See that little word, be devoted? Interesting Greek word. Only here in the whole Bible. It takes two Greek words, combines it, and forms a new word. The first part of the word, we get our word Philadelphia. It means brotherly love. Second part of the word is storge. It means family love, like husband, wife, father, son. Puts them together and says, when the love of God controls you, this is what the family of God looks like. Everybody matters. Your family. You count. We have each other's back. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from Christ working in us by faith. Sometimes when we come together, the church is like a bag of marbles. We're all in the same place, but hard-eyed or shells, and we don't connect. I believe God wants us to be more like a bag of grapes. And you push and squish, and the wine flows. Because we're intermingled. That's what this is calling for. Look at the next commandment. Give preference to one another in honor. How is your honoring other people going? Give preference to one another in honor. When you honor people and you're talking to them, you honor them by listening well. Instead of waiting for your turn to butt in and say what you want to say. It's dishonoring to not listen. When we are committed to honoring other people, we are looking for what's right instead of everything that's wrong. We have their best interest at heart. When we honor other people, we seek to understand them instead of trying to be understood. When we honor other people, we're committed to serving them. Now, every one of those things come out of the heart. I can't change my heart, but I know somebody who can. And when I keep coming back to Christ, invite him to change my heart, the byproduct, the evidence, is that we honor each other. Look at the next set of commandments. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. He's going to give us six commandments. What these all have in common is focusing our eyes on Christ, putting our faith in him. That's where these come from. Notice what it says, not lagging behind in diligence. It's literally in the Greek language, the zeal, not a sloth. Do you know what a sloth is? You know that ugly old animal that hangs in trees and hardly ever moves. He just hangs there. And then every once in a while eats a leaf and sleeps. Don't be a sluggard, a sloth. When it comes to zeal, don't be slothful. Here's the question I've got. Do you ever lose your zeal? Do you ever lose heart? You just want to say, I've had enough. Where do you get not losing your zeal? Here's what I discovered. 6 times in the New Testament, a commandment, don't lose heart. And every commandment has a resource not to do it. Here's an example. Men ought to always pray and not lose heart. So I can either pray or lose heart. Every one of these commandments are an opportunity, an invitation. Come put your faith in me. Let me change your heart. Look at the next one. In fervent in spirit. It literally means this. In spirit, boiling over. It means to have a spirit that is just boiling over with joy in the Lord. Do you ever lose your passion for Christ and just kind of cool off? What brings it to the boiling point? The only source is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he who keeps on believing in me from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The commandments are invitations to put our faith in Christ, not just try hard to obey them. And when we put our faith in Christ, he changes our heart. This is the byproduct. There was a nurse who was working in a war zone. And she had a string of people and working on a putrid, rotten leg of a soldier. And a reporter was there watching her work. And he said to himself, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. Not thinking she heard. She heard it. Turned around and looked at him and said, I wouldn't either. But I'd do it any day for Jesus Christ. What she was saying is, somebody change my heart. And that's where this comes from. Look at the next commandment. It says, serving the Lord. It's literally, the Lord be a deacon. The word deacon means servant. How's your passion for serving God? Every single day, Lord, my life is yours. Now, here's what I've come to realize. Every day of my life, I've got a master. And I will become like my master. And I'm a worshiper. And I become like what I worship. The only one that can change my sinful heart that causes me to worship cheap substitutes for God is Christ. This is a commandment saying, I'm giving you an invitation. Put your faith in Christ. Let him change your heart. This will be the outcome. Look at what else it says. Rejoicing in hope. Oh, I love that word hope. It's used 141 times in the New Testament. Biblical hope is not a wish. It is absolute confidence God will keep his word. It is a frame of reference for all of life. God's promises and his character. I got a front row seat to that this week. Barbara Frazier, her brother died. He was a believer in Christ. And I saw her stand by the graveside, grieving, but full of joy. Why? Hope. He's in the presence of God. I saw a man in my small group struggling with his bosses at work. They were irking him to death. And he said, I had an encounter with God. I started every day saying, Lord, I can't handle these guys. Abba, Daddy, help me. He filtered it through God's character and his promises. The joy came back. Every one of these commandments are invitations. Put your hope in God. Fix your eyes on Christ. Look at the next one. Persevering in tribulation. It literally means afflictions. Stay under it and don't crawl out. How many of you have afflictions in your life? It seems like the harder you try, I mean, come on, Lord, back off. Do you ever feel like that? Here's a commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. In your tribulation, persevere. It means bear up under. Stay under there. Learn the lesson. Now, what would cause us to do that? Come back to faith in Christ. He went through the affliction. He's with me. His promises are there. He changes my heart. Hebrews chapter 11. Great chapter. It's the hall of fame of those who walk by faith. Read through that chapter. They kept breaking through quitting points. They bear up under. What did they all have in common? They filtered all of life through God's character and his promises. All the commandments of God are invitations to faith in him. Look at the next one. Be devoted to prayer. This is the golden key. It means that you hotly pursue prayer, that it just marks your life. Rich Sewell used to be the chairman of our board. He's now a pastor in California, and I learned a wonderful lesson from his leadership. In every board meeting, over and over he did it. Every time an issue came up, he would stop. Who's going to pray for that? Go on to the next one. Stop. Who's going to pray for that? By the time the board meeting's over, it's just a prayer meeting. And when he would hear a need, he would stop right there, pray for you. That's what this means. May and I have been preparing for next Saturday. We have a marriage seminar. The final day to sign up for it is today. It has been healthy for our marriage. We spent the weekend getting ready for it. And it dawned on us, one of the reasons our marriage works is we pray together constantly. Constantly. It's just what we've always done. Where did that come from? Because we both keep putting our faith in Jesus. Look at the next set of commandments. It stays focused on Jesus Christ. We've covered that. It eagerly serves people. Do you eagerly serve people? Look at the commandments. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Here's what it literally means. The needs of the saints, have fellowship with it. When a need is exposed to you in your circle of influence, have communion with it. Enter into it. Contribute. Be a part of the solution. Have you found that living that way is risky? That you could get hurt? Y'all may not know it, but I love country western songs. I listen to them, and I sing along in my car where only God can hear. Aren't you grateful only God hears it? One of the songs I heard this week that I loved is Do It Anyway. Just do it anyway. You know that song? If you don't, go listen to it. C.S. Lewis said this, wise words. To love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up for safekeeping in the coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. This is a commandment. Contribute to the needs of the saints. It's a heart issue. Look at the last commandment. Practicing hospitality. It literally means a lover of strangers. We get our word hospital from it. Now, when I first read this commandment, I kind of felt okay about it. Practicing hospitality. We're doing that until I studied the Greek word for practicing, and then the conviction came. Do you know what this means? It literally means hotly pursue, stalk it, go after it. How you doing now? This is tough. And my heart wanted to say, that's unrealistic. Hold on a minute. What is the commandment calling me to do? Not put faith in myself to buck it up. Faith in Christ. Change my heart, O God. And the byproduct is that then I'll be like Jesus, who went after hospitality. So we've looked at 13 commandments today. These are life-changing. If we applied them as a way of life, we would have revival. Life would explode everywhere. So what is our problem? Same two I had Tuesday night. Where do you put your faith? Listen, every time God gives a believer a commandment, every time, it is an invitation. Put your faith in Christ, not yourself. Let his life live through you. And it's an invitation. Lord, I got a wicked heart. Change my heart, O God. That's what the commandments do. And they bring life. And that's why Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So this morning, God takes his precious word and he does heart surgery. He can read our hearts. Where did the word of God speak to your heart today? And this morning, when the commandment convicted you, you have an option. You can get irritated. You can say, thanks a lot. That was nice. See you later. Or you can say, Lord, an invitation to faith in you. Change my heart. Let's allow him to do that today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these life-giving truths. Thank you that they constantly push us back to the good news. Christ died for us. Christ can give us a new heart. Christ gives us faith. Lord, may these commandments push us to faith in Christ and him alone. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit gives us new hearts. Oh Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Change us so that we really are a community of love. Lord, help us to remind each other over and over and over to keep going back to Jesus. Put our faith in him. Let him change us. Lord, change my heart. Change this church as we live this way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.